This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. This is episode 72 on August 13 of 2007. It's an off day for the Reds, but we're doing the podcast anyway.
No, it's when we usually do it, well, apparently.
On off days, you mean, or on Mondays, and they seem to always have Mondays off.
Yeah, both.
Coincidence. I'm your host, Amanda, and your other host is Johnny, crack technical staff, love of my life.
I've not really been crack technical staff much lately. I remember starting on a site redesign like a year ago.
Oh, that's gone nowhere. Well, you know, then you got a job.
Yeah, it was so much
easier to be the crack technical staff when you were staying at home, chilling out with a kid. But you know what? Tomorrow we start school.
That's right.
And even if you were staying at home, you wouldn't really, like, suddenly you'd have a whole, not a lot to do. I think that'd be really hard if you were a stay-at-home parent to, like, see your kids go away to school. And you'd be like...
We sure did see a bunch of them at the ice cream social at the elementary school
tonight.
Yeah, it's
kind of icky, actually. A little bit.
It was weird.
Yeah, a little bit unsettling, really, hanging out with all of the... Because here in Carmel, there's a lot of... people take a lot of pride in their stay-at-home motherdom as if, like, it's something to be proud of, that they're just, like, hanging around at home waiting for their big money-making husbands to cheat on them, and so that they'll be left with nothing when they, you know, when the divorce decree comes down. No kidding, man. Not that every guy cheats, I suppose, but, you know, it's like, this certainly does a very stereotypical kind of a setup you've got going here, isn't it? The high-power executive rich guy with his doting wife.
That's why you wanted to move here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Nothing to do with the school system at all, which brings us back to the school.
It's a great-looking place.
Yeah, it's a nice school, nice facilities. Wasn't just a little bit eerie at the ice cream social, but, you know, maybe it's just because I'd never been there before. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I've never had a first grader before, so.
I know. It's exciting, isn't it? Buying all the
very, very weird
school supplies. And
I remember being in first grade.
Yeah, I do too. Just little bits of it.
Yeah, of course. But still.
And it's really his first day of school because we sent him to kinder care. Last year,
yeah, essentially a private kindergarten is what it ended up being. Though
that's what it ended up being. It wasn't our intention. He's just like, we thought he'd go to kindergarten after his time at kinder care, but then they're like, no, he's doing really well. You should probably send him to first grade.
Okay. All right.
Which this has taken a long turn from the baseball.
I won't pay extra for full day kindergarten.
Well, that's a good point, because here in Carmel, Indiana, if you want to send your kids to full day kindergarten, you do have to pay tuition for the half of the day that isn't the standard.
It's one of those situations where the state mandates that schools offer it, but then provides no way to pay for it.
Mm. Nice.
Bureaucracies.
Wait, what's going on at the top of the Reds page there?
Mm. The ad's not showing up.
That's not ads. Where's the pictures?
Oh, yeah. No biggie.
Is it just not loading correctly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My computer's been weird today.
Okay, well, we're looking at a page on Reds.com, and the banner wasn't loading properly. Lest anyone be confused out there about what the heck we're talking about.
Let's move on to the Reds.
Well, why would we do that? Just because this is a Reds podcast?
They've had a flurry of transactions lately. Surely they're bound to get better.
Surely.
No, you're supposed to say...
Don't call me Shirley.
There you go.
What have they done? I know that they...
The most recent one is that they... That they call... Blah, 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 excuse me. Can't talk. The most recent one is that they called up Hamilton off of the DL and...
So that's Scott Hamilton, right?
Yes.
the
first openly gay athlete in Major League Baseball, Scott Hamilton.
Is Scott Hamilton openly gay?
You know, I thought he was, but now that you say that, I feel maybe he isn't. And then that would be rather embarrassing. So,
well, I don't think he's listening. But if you are out there, Scott Hamilton, and you're not openly gay, didn't mean to insinuate anything, you know, honest mistake.
But Josh Hamilton
Josh Hamilton
came back up. And they DFA'd Bellhorn after a whopping 6 at bats.
Bellhorn, yeah, seriously, was he on the 25-man? Was he playing and everything? Or was that just a move to get him off the...
No, he was up with the team for a short...
I mean, like, recently? Like, this week?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, within this week?
Yeah.
Dude, did he never get a chance? Like, 6 at bats? I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have any idea how he did in those 6 at bats?
No, I don't. I think he had one hit.
Well, it doesn't seem that bad.
They were most of them were pinch hitting roles, so that's...
It's a little bit tough. Yeah, not everyone's cut out for the pinch hitting role.
Before that, they sent down Belial to Louisville.
Well, he did kind of stink up the joint this weekend.
No worse than the bullpen.
Well, no, that's true. In fact, far, far better than the bullpen.
He went 5 innings and allowed 5 runs. I'm not sure if all of them were earned on Friday night's game, but then the bullpen went 7 innings and allowed 7 runs. No, 6 innings and 7 runs, I think. So,
well, you know, David Weathers alone.
That was the worst I've seen him all year.
Yeah, but you know, he's but that's the thing. It is the worst you've seen him all year. He's been really good this year.
It was really surprising because he came out and he just couldn't throw a strike. I think he walked the first or second guys he faced, and it's just...
Well, now it's that, like, tremulous moment where you're not sure whether this signals like a downfall, or whether it's just a man, it was bound to come around eventually, because, you know, that's crazy that how well he was doing all summer.
Right.
Season.
It could just be a one-off. He hasn't typically been that great in non-save situations this year. And that was not a save situation.
No.
The other relievers had seen to that.
Was it? No, it was an extras.
But they didn't have the lead, did they?
Yeah, they were tied.
Right, so it's not a save situation.
I don't know.
But he did.
We saw him out there throwing with his kid before the game, and they did a feature on him, on the David Weathers' son, and I don't remember his name now, but on FSN last season, and he's just like this freaking phenom. It's just incredible, and you see this kid running around, and he's only like
5 or 6.
Six, I think. And he looks like he's 8. He's big for his age.
And then he throws
throws like crazy. It's just, it's really something.
I'll be curious to see in, like, you know, 10, 12 years or so if he stays interested in baseball, if he gets like top draft pick type.
You do get sort of that feeling like, man, I could be watching something here. This could be something special. And then again, you know, he could fizzle out. He could decide if he wants to become a rock and roll star or something.
Or an ice skater.
You never know. You just never know.
I was wrong. The Reds just did something.
Okay.
More recent than calling up Josh Hamilton.
Oh, I knew about this.
They put David Ross on the DL.
Yeah, he was pretty banged up there, huh?
I had no idea.
It says he had a concussion, huh?
Yeah, concussion.
Yeah.
In the collision with Mike Cameron. And when I saw the replay, I really didn't see much contact. It looked like Cameron lowered a shoulder, but it looked more like a shove than a...
It was a shove, but maybe he had some head snappage, you know. You get some good neck snappage, and that will can knock your brain against the inside of your skull.
Yeah.
You know, the people that we were watching the game on TV, and I think that it was like Chris Welsh or something saying that, he didn't think Mike Cameron played dirty, didn't think it was intentional or anything like that, but man, it sure looked like he was trying to take him out, and David Ross is hardly a fantastic plate blocker. If anything, you could pretty much avoid him. You pretty much don't have to touch him at all, so I don't know. I thought it was pretty questionable, him knocking into Ross to begin with. But hopefully, you know, he's feeling better after his 15 days.
Well, it was interesting, though, because Hobby ended up catching that game with Arroyo pitching for a while.
You know what? You know what I meant to do? I meant to check out what Arroyo's ERA was with Javi catching.
That's the first time that's ever happened, I believe, outside in regular season.
Yeah.
I think it happened in spring training.
Well, with all that crap that they were spouting about the pitcher's ERAs with Ross catching and with the pitcher's ERAs versus the pitcher's ERAs with Javi catching, I thought it would be great irony to show Arroyo's ERA with Javi catching, because I'm pretty sure it's pretty low. Though, man, he has hardly been awesome this season.
No, he was terrible that day, too, before Ross went out, in fact.
Well, you know, they knocked him. They knocked Ross out, and then he got back up and went back to catching.
Yeah, he got...
And I was like, is he just doing that for for Bronson. Bronson's like, man, you can't go out. I don't want a hobby. I want you. I don't know. Well,
I don't know. Well, we'll
sure
find out.
The case, I'm sure he's just a tough guy.
We'll find out next time Arroyo has a start if it's Valentine catching or the Ryan Jorgensen AAA catcher that they've called up.
Oh, did they call up another catcher?
Yeah.
That is sort of ironic. No, it's not ironic. It's a coincidental. It's that no sooner do they finally get rid of Chad Moeller, which is another move that I'm sure you were meaning to bring up, than Ross goes on the DL.
Yeah, it's like Kripke's going where, I knew it! if
Naren were dead, he'd be spinning in his grave.
Yeah, whoever was behind the three catchers there.
You need three catchers! What if one of them gets hurt?
Yep, play the other one.
Yeah, but isn't Friel also hurt?
Yeah.
So there's
he's
your,
on the DL
your,
too.
Your emergency backup catcher.
Hatterberg. Anyone can do it. I mean, have been playing baseball for years.
That's true.
With two catchers.
Well, and you know, these guys have been playing baseball for years. One would hope that they would be able to, you know, get by
to,
in
to know what
any
a,
position.
The single,
yeah, one means fastball, guys. You're pretty good with that, you know.
But yeah.
What
yes,
else?
Yes, Chad Moeller. That move should require some fanfare. Really, I mean, da 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 da. Krivsky won a trade.
Yeah. He got some cash
for Moeller.
For Moeller, hopefully, more cash than he was paying Moeller. That would be the one way he could
they
lose.
Weren't paying Moeller very much. I mean,
well, no.
As I recall, it was just minimum.
No, I'm not saying it was very much, but he could be getting $5 out of it. It would be kind of
for cash.
For cash, and by cash he means whatever was in the guy's pocket.
I got a Lincoln.
I got $26.32
and a bus fare.
Okay, what else do we got?
That's about it.
That's really quite a bit. I need to put up little entries about each one of those. So what do you think about this frenzy over trading Dunn?
What?
There's an ongoing issue about trading Dunn. We just had HMZ put up a big comment about how the team can't afford to keep him online. You think that's the case?
I think they can.
Can what?
Can keep him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're... salary is, but they've got him this year, and I don't see any reason why they can't next year. He's not making that much more money.
Here's what I think. It seems like I wouldn't be against the idea of trading him to get some money back. I wouldn't hate that idea, but I would like to actually have a plan in place before doing that. You know, you don't make your plan, you don't, like, start your plan for any kind of organization, like, with scarcity thinking. You're not like, well, we're going to have to save money every way we can, because what if something comes along and we need a bunch of money for that? If you know, once they have something like in line and on the ready to go, and they'll be like, "Oh, we can get." I don't know who's even good enough. Who's even like a sure thing these days?
I don't know if there is such a thing.
Well, like, oh, we can
Dunn.
Get. No, I'm pitching pitcher.
Oh,
starting pitcher.
Well, Dunn's a pretty sure thing.
Pretty sure starting pitcher.
No, 40 home runs, 100 RBIs,
that's
100 run scores.
What I'm talking about a pitcher,
you,
but
you
I'm
don't
just
get,
saying. You get an
much
expensive,
more dependable. Than,
let's say Carpenter comes off the deal.
But he's coming off an injury. That's you can't.
Zambrano. Who would be good?
Okay,
enough?
Zambrano.
Let's say Zambrano. And you're like, yeah, we can. Zambrano's gonna be a free agent. Well, I don't know if he is, but this is for example. Say you had you said, well, Zambrano's gonna be a free agent, but we're gonna have to come up with $25 million for him, and we're gonna have to do it like right now. Well, first thing you do is you go to Castellini and you say, we can get an excellent pitcher, but we're going to have to come up with $25 million. Are you going to help us out here? And maybe he'll be like, well, you know, I'll give you 10. Like, okay, we're going to have to find some way to cut some payroll. And then you go through and you get your money together that way.
Yeah.
You don't go around selling off all your best players just so you have a bunch of money just in case. That would be, it would just be inviting Krivsky to spend a lot of money on stupid things.
Yeah. And I think one thing I think is funny is that it's only ever Dunn. Like, oh, Dunn makes too much. Like, what about Griffey? And he's getting older, where mm-hmm. players start to decline. Where Dunn's still younger,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It could actually improve.
And, well, no, he is improving. I mean, I think he's shown improvement this year over last year.
Sure.
I'm very rarely afraid of anything going into left field these days.
Yeah, that's you know,
obviously,
something.
He's not Gold Glover. He's not a circling defender. No question about that. But, I mean, he doesn't suck anymore. And
he's probably better in left than Griffey is in right.
It could be. And you see him on the base paths. You know, on the rare occasion he gets on base without hitting a home run. No, he's not fast. But he is a smart base runner. Probably the smartest base runner I've seen. That guy has some brain power going on in that big old freaking donkey head of his. You know, he keeps it quiet. Yeah. Tries to sound like a dumbass sometimes.
You haven't heard as much from him this year. Last year there was a lot of smart aleckery.
Yeah.
But he's been quieter this year.
He's like, people are going to find out I know something. I better keep my mouth shut. So, yeah, there's that. And then, like...
And actually, if Griffey reaches 600, and we just got to see him hit 590 this weekend, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If he reaches 600 before the season's over, I wonder why they wouldn't seriously investigate trading him.
Well, sure.
Because that's a big milestone. That brings in a lot of people. But then after that, well, what's to look forward to next year?
I don't think you'd always be looking at that, you know, one way or the other, unless they are bringing in so much money from the Griffey 600 chase that they want to keep him around just because of that. But, I mean, it's going to take so many things to come. Like, the plans are going to have to align for that to work. It's going to have to be the Reds find the right people to take him, and Griffey's happy to go there, and they're happy with what they're, you know, getting in return, and, you know, the salary thing works out all right and everything, like, along those lines. And it's... you know, since it's going to be such a rare occasion that would work out anyway, I wouldn't think that you'd ever not be looking for it, you know?
That's
just in
true.
Case. But, you I'm know, always looking just, for four-leaf clovers. You never know.
Lately, it's always been, Dunn makes too much. Like, well, no, he doesn't.
Well, what about Eric Milton? I mean, you know, Griffey clearly is the highest paid Red, but Milton is number two, and his salary goes off the books next season. It seems to me like that's going to free up quite a bit of money.
One would think, but arbitration really can eat up a lot of that if they don't sign their young players to contracts.
So.
But yeah. I don't. It's a little too early for that information to start being reported.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to appear in the newspapers and stuff. That usually later in the year.
We'll just have to see how it shakes out.
To see who has who's arbitration eligible and all that good stuff. But, like, you know, Harang and Arroyo, they're both under contract. Dunn has a contract for an option for next year, at least. Phillips might be arbitration eligible. That could
be expensive.
Be expensive.
It's been pretty good. Pretty all right.
But, you know, that's why you try to sign longer-term contracts at less than they would get through arbitration. Because it gives them the security and the...
Well, what I think the crux of the problem I have with the whole idea of trading Dunn for money is that I don't see lack of money being the Reds' problem with pitching to begin with.
Mm.
Because...
Oh, that's a good point.
They cannot seem to identify a good pitcher to save their lives. And then once they do, can they convince them to come to Cincinnati? And if you get that far in the process, if you can get that far, where yes, we've identified someone who's good, yes, we've convinced them to come to Cincinnati on the condition that we give them so much money, that's the point where you start talking about trading people to free up payroll. You're putting the cart before the horse if you do it the other way around.
Yeah. They haven't had much luck with... well, you know, they spent quite a bit of money on the bullpen this year.
They spent quite a bit of talent on the bullpen last year, look where it got them.
And they're still exactly where they were at the beginning of last year.
It's like selling your bonds in anticipation of credit card bills you might have sometime down the line.
There you go.
Okay, what do we got standings-wise? What are you looking at there? Oh, look. They're 11 and a half games back, and so are the Pirates. Damn it!
Oh, the Pirates are catching them.
Oh, thank
God for
that.
That's because the Pirates played Monday, and the Reds didn't.
Look, if it weren't for that... that one more win and one more loss, it's just a percentage difference right now. The Reds could be back in last place. Why do they have to suck? They have so much talent. Why can't they just be good? I don't understand why they can't just be good, why they can't just pull it together.
They don't know how.
It's so frustrating. And here they keep teetering.
You know, I wonder if bringing in a manager like a Tony La Russa or a Lou Piniella, who has actually won most of their lives, if that would matter.
Are you talking about like for the rest of the season?
No, not the rest of this year. This year's, despite what Bob Castellini might have delusions about, this year's done.
Does he just but feel like obligated to say things like that? Like, no, no, no. Keep coming to the games, guys.
Come on, we've got Dollar Hot Dog Day coming up.
We're going to win? Yeah. Or is he really kind of living off in fantasy land?
I don't know.
Like, no, we're doing exactly the same thing. Surely things are going to change. What else we got?
Milwaukee's still in first, despite losing more than they're winning over the last couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what the Cubs have been doing, too. So it's like, no one wants to win the Central.
I tell you what.
Everyone wants to lose it.
It's, like I said, the gaping wormhole would come through and up to demolish the earth if the Cubs were to take over first place. So
I think they could win first, but they still won't do anything in the
playoffs.
Maybe
the Cubs know that, and they're just, putting off.
They're going for the wild card to try to forestall Armageddon.
Well, they'd have a better chance of winning the whole thing if they could take the wild card.
Wild card winners do
these days, especially out of the NLC.
That's right. St. Louis is doing probably about the best of.
Dude, what the heck with that
Ankiel
character?
That was amazing.
He's got one home run his first game back.
Yep, and then
two home runs the second game back.
His second starter. Start
100 home runs his third.
Right.
He's did La Russa cry for the two in the second
game? I don't know, but you'll never guess. But for the first game, curtain call.
In St. Louis?
In St. Louis?
No.
They're renowned for
certainly not.
Not having curtain calls for insignificant home runs.
See, that's the thing. Don't they feel bad about that now?
Yeah.
Aren't they like, man, I wish we hadn't demanded 15 curtain calls every single game, because now this one doesn't feel as special.
You know, how can we give it an extra oomph? Because he kind of deserves it. Oh, well. But they're in third place, 5.5 back.
They
just demolished the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers. They're...
Dodgers right after the Reds got done with them, the Cardinals rolled in and took two of three as well.
Dodgers are not having a good time.
No.
Dodgers are not having a good time of it.
And then you've got...
But the Dodgers are going up against what?
Houston
next.
Yeah.
So they just keep moving their way through the Central. I think they can take Houston. They couldn't handle...
They might be able to.
Right in the middle of the...
But Houston is sitting in fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty... solidly there, two games above the Reds, but four behind third place.
They're in fourth place, and their winning percentage is .444.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about that. Lucky number four.
And that's the Central.
I think they can dig it.
The Reds? It? Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. It's theirs.
All they have to do is exactly what they're doing now.
Right. I mean, they've shown such... signs of improvement as the year has progressed.
And everything's coming up Milhouse, baby.
No, everything's coming up Castellini.
Everything's coming up Castellini, baby.
All right.
I think that we probably had better get some sleep, because we got to get up early in the morning and see that boy off on his bus and worry about him at school all day when he's not going to be worried at all and he's going to do just fine.
Right.
Because that's the right of parenthood that we have. So, tomorrow we'll look forward to Aaron Harang taking on... Oh, Zambrano. Speak of the devil. A very emotional Carlos Zambrano.
Yeah, hopefully they can get him flustered in the first, and it'll be...
easy sailing from there on out.
Until the 8th.
Look, he's... Whoa, what's his record?
14-8.
Holy crap. But look, Harang's is 11-3. He doesn't lose that many, huh?
No.
Of course, he's got plenty of other guys to lose them for him.
That's right.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to that at 8:05 tomorrow, taking place in Chicago. That ought to be a good time. Though, actually, we won't be seeing it tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be in Indianapolis watching the Bats take on the Indians. We got seats right next to the Bats' bullpen, so maybe we'll have some audio. Maybe we'll be talking to Todd Coffey.
Ooh.
Which I realize other people have done, but...
we haven't.
Put
that
on the podcast.
Count.
So that'd be awesome. All right, well, we'll be looking forward to that. Keep on hanging in there, and go Reds!
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds and the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.